Payback. The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and it is the Payback preview for Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Shannon Young, and as you can tell, I am not going to make it. I know I say that a lot, but this time it's true.
This is the one that's going to stick.
I thought I was going to be better for this, and then the moment I did that intro, I realized if I go above a base, almost a basic whisper, my voice cracks. I sound like the kid from The Simpsons. Acne Boy. I don't know his name.
You don't know a Simpsons character name?
I don't think he has a name. I think his name is literally Squeaky Voice Teenager. I'm almost positive.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah.
So we're doing the Payback preview tonight, and we're going to talk about some things. But since my voice is shaky, I'm not going to be able to do this myself. Asa Gray, my good friend and the five-star man himself, he is going to take over the hosting duties tonight. So Asa, I turn the show over to you after I introduce first Dalton Manch, who's back on the show this week after missing last week.
Yo!
And it's good to have him back.
Good to be
Asa
back.
Asa Gray, of course.
Of course.
And Ali Abair.
Hello.
Asa, my friend.
The producer.
To you.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and it is, by the way, for controlling interest of the PWU and Podzilla. But just like WWE, whatever happens tonight, it doesn't matter. It's still going to be Shannon's show forever. So
That's not entirely. I can put you in charge for the next 4 weeks.
And then it just depends.
You'll win this one, and then I still just keep... Yeah, okay.
And at the end of the month, I'll decide that Dalton takes it.
And we'll get there.
No, I don't want it.
That's at the bottom of the page. So yeah, we got some stuff to talk about. It's mostly going to be the Payback preview show, but some stuff did happen this week in wrestling that's worth talking about. Most importantly, at least, so last week, up until we started recording, we were on the internet and Reddit and like trying to look up like, sources on that big TNA story, which still nothing has really come out about.
Yeah, been silent since then, but there was big news that pretty much rocked the world.
Right. That happened like, it broke as we were recording. So we didn't get a chance to see it or talk about it last week. But of course, everyone knows by now that, Joni Lauer, China, passed away. You said that her agent.
They came out today. Her agent said that it looks like it's an accidental overdose.
Yeah.
On Ambien and. I forget what the other one was.
Yeah, it was sleeping pills and like anti-anxiety meds.
It's bad. They don't think it was suicide, is what they're saying. But
because it was a really dangerous combination that she was on, regardless. So yeah, it's easy to see that that's an accidental, which of course is what you want. If it's gonna happen, like it's a tragedy, it happened either way. But you know,
you don't want it to be suicide, because that makes the story even darker.
Yeah.
But it's dark as it is.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that she was only 45 when she passed away, and we just came off the heels of Balls Mahoney passing away.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's just and you never thought you would hear that China died. Like, I never thought I would hear that. When we left and you messaged me, and you called me, but I didn't pick up my phone.
Yeah.
Because I never pick up my phone. And then.
You're not JTG.
No, I know better. And then I get that message saying, holy shit, China died. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
This is well,
because I was in my parking lot at my apartment, and I just pulled up my phone. I went on Twitter real quick. Because I was going to check something. I don't even remember what it was, but I saw it was Will Wheaton had tweeted like, "Holy crap, China, R.I.P." And I was like, "No."
Did they mean Black China?
Like, I was like, "What are you talking about?" Like, I was just on the internet. Like,
that's a person, Black China. That's a real person.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not making that up.
I know you're not.
Okay. I'm just like, this isn't real. And then started looking, and then that's when I was like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I'm just sitting in my car. I'm like, Shannon will know.
it's almost like a friend died. You know, I know none of us ever met China as far as I know. But when you hear about something like that, somebody that you've watched for so many years, it feels like someone you know passed away. And you get in that mode where like, I got to tell everybody. Everybody needs to know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, most people, like, I didn't message anybody when Merle Haggard died, even though I liked Merle Haggard.
Right.
But China... I mean, that's somebody we all, except for Allie, grew up watching
and
admiring. And even, you know, I say that, but Allie is obviously aware of who China is and the impact she had on this business.
Right.
So it's, Balls Mahoney was sad, but this is really, I mean, this is huge.
And it really is, especially, and then so it's because we did the group chat, like we sent that in there. And then I think the follow up was, well, Stephanie McMahon reacted to it.
Yeah, that was one of the first few things.
And so it's
and Triple H.
And Triple H and WWE, like the WWE Twitter, Triple H, like and a bunch of and there was clearly like a bunch of like the current women's wrestlers, a bunch of past women's wrestlers, Lita, Trish, like people like that tweeted it, sent their condolences, because like she very clearly was a pioneer in women's wrestling. Like she was.
If you didn't know that, just look at the tweets that were sent out by WWE. Every single one of them mentioned
what a pioneer. Hall of Fame career. Like they probably just, didn't say that, but
they put her name in the robotic, you know, in the machine and see generic what condolence out.
Yeah. giver.
They wish her the best in future afterlife endeavors.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, crap, that was...
That's the wrong one.
Yeah, that's the wrong one. That's the one we got to put Rosa Mendez in next week. We accidentally put China in this week. Crap. Well, now Rosa knows.
Don't answer your phone, Rosa.
And yeah, so it's just... She was the first woman to be in the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. Only women's Intercontinental Champion.
Mm-hmm.
And legit Intercontinental Champion. It wasn't like Santino... being the Divas or the Women's Champion, Divas Champion, whatever.
She defended.
Yeah, she defended. And that was a thing that really got me. Like, I was in, like, shock about it. But the one that really made me go, oh, was someone posted a picture of Eddie in the ring with her, like, her holding the IC belt. And it said, welcome home, Mamacita. Don't make me feel these things.
But we also, I mean, not to talk about the seedy side of her life, but you can't talk about China without talking about what happened to her.
No, yeah.
So she was in WWE, and she was a trailblazer. She really was.
Absolutely.
She was also dating Triple H.
Yep.
The moment Triple H dumped her and took Stephanie McMahon, legitimately, this wasn't a storyline, the writing was on the wall. China left shortly after, turned insanely bitter toward everything.
Yeah.
Kind of messed around in TNA and in the independence for a while, and then started a adult career in pornography and stayed in pornography for, I think, 7-8 years.
Just a while.
And then overdosed.
Yep.
If there was ever a classic tale of a fall from grace, there it is.
She was really kind of pushing to straighten herself out, it looked like.
Yeah.
Cause she was taking, because she pretty much was done with wrestling after a period. Like, she didn't want anything to do with it, but she was starting to take dates for independent shows, like, not to compete, but to do appearances and, like, conventions. She was making appearances.
Well, she was pushing to get back into WWE, too.
She really wanted a Hall of Fame.
Yeah. She deserves it.
100%.
Yeah.
And while it's, part of it is like, so, because people have been wondering, like, why isn't she already in? As soon as you announce that they're doing a Hall of Fame, China's a first ballot.
Yeah.
Like, no questions asked. And so but the reason given, like in an interview, Triple H said, I don't want my daughters to Google China's name and find pornography.
Now, you know the obvious problem with that. Who's in the Hall of Fame right now?
So many people.
Including Sonny, who just did a pornography.
Yep.
Jimmy Snuka killed a person.
Jimmy Snuka killed somebody. Allegedly. Yeah.
Probably. Allegedly.
I mean,
Ultimate Warrior, Iron Sheik.
Well, even if you just want to go by WWE Triple H's standard of, well, I don't want him to Google a name and see porn. Sonny, and I'm not talking about like even Hulk Hogan. You can almost give him a pass because that was recorded without his consent.
Right.
That was him just having sex and someone filmed it. That's not right.
Right.
No,
Sonny legitimately did signed a contract and is doing more porn. And she's still in the Hall of Fame. So how can you dare say that China does not belong in there?
Do you think that she's going in this year?
Absolutely. As soon as possible.
Yeah.
And that's a shame, isn't it?
And to be fair, like we're giving WWE a really hard time and to an extent they deserve it. But you can't ignore the fact that when China was very bitter, and she made some allegations.
She did. Against
Triple H, against X-Pac, against a bunch of people that she was very close with that she felt betrayed by, including, you know, he's a pedophile. He beat her.
Yeah. Her and X-Pac. I mean, if you ever don't do it, because it's really sad.
Yeah,
Howard Stern interviews. They were on the, what was it called? The Surreal Life.
Ooh, that was uncomfortable.
That was uncomfortable.
And like, as somebody that loved DX, that really ruined a few people. X-Pac. Like X-Pac. That ruined X-Pac. I was a gigantic X-Pac fan.
I agree. That's same for me. Yeah. Like Hogan Knows Best ruined Hogan for me.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, no, X-Pac looked
that
terrible.
That didn't ruin Hogan for me.
Well, it ruined my idea of what Hulk Hogan was.
You know, I get what you're saying.
This to me, Hulk Hogan was the
on-camera character.
The on-camera character.
Okay,
I think this was the first time I ever saw a wrestler off-camera. You know what I mean? Like, Hogan Knows Best was the first time I actually saw with my own eyes people, like wrestlers, behaving outside of the ring. And I forgot that they were human beings.
Right.
I thought that they were action heroes.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to correct you or start an argument, but I want to say that Surreal Life was first.
But I didn't watch the Surreal Life.
Okay, so you saw it after the fact.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know Maven was on a season before her.
I think so. And then China, but it was just a train wreck.
Oh, yeah, with her it was.
Her life was a train wreck. And it's one of those things that I had the same problem with Amy, and I know I'm talking way more than I was going to. I had the same problem with Amy Winehouse when she passed away.
Yeah.
And it's like everybody's like, wow, saw that coming. And I was thinking like, well, why didn't you do anything? Why doesn't someone do something?
Someone actually like just recently was tweeting about the Amy Winehouse, like the song Rehab. And there's even a line in there like, well, my dad says I'm okay, even though he was her business manager.
Yeah.
And was like, no, yeah, of course you can go perform. Whatever. Here's some.
Give me maybe some money.
So, yeah. So it's people suck.
People do suck. It's just a sad state of affairs.
Yeah. So it's. And
I'm on the belief of, yeah, it's really, really bad that WWE is just now acknowledging her, but at least they're finally doing it. Like, yeah, she did make some allegations and she did shoot herself in the foot quite a few times, but it's. She didn't do what Benoit did. She didn't do.
No, yeah.
Yeah, like she deserves every ounce of praise she's getting now.
She does.
To me, one of the most heartbreaking things about it though is she's not going to be able to really be able to truly have that closure with everyone involved, like Bret Hart did.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, whether or not it was strictly for TV or not, that moment where he's in the ring with Shawn Michaels for the first time and they hug, that was powerful. And same with, like, you know, as much as I hate him as a human being, the Ultimate Warrior or Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, like that was a big one.
I was thinking this reminds me a lot of Randy Savage, because Savage, and no one really knows the reason why Vince McMahon hates him so much.
There's lots of rumors. Yeah.
But Savage was blacklisted from the WWF E for so many years. Mm-hmm. And of course, when he passed away, then they inducted him into the Hall of Fame.
That took a couple years, didn't it?
I think it took one or two. Well, and to be fair, what I was going to say is, unlike China, right before he passed away, I don't know if you remember, but he actually did commercials for them for the All-Stars game. And he started working with WWE again right when he passed away.
Yeah, he did.
Because, so he got a little bit of closure. But yeah, China will never have that closure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember Savage, like, right before he passed away, he was in that WWE All-Star game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was like, I remember that was my senior year. That game came out, and then like a week later, he passed away.
And boy, that really broke me.
That was my graduation day. Randy Savage passing away ruined my high school graduation.
Wait, that was your graduation day?
That was, I got the text message in the rehearsal for my mom saying Randy Savage passed away.
Allie,
and it was like my first week having a smartphone. So like I checked online because I finally figured out how to do that. And I was like, holy,
no,
like, Savage passed away. And I was like, and they were like, it's your graduation day. I was like, I don't get. This is the worst day of my life.
This is more important.
Yeah, this is way more important.
You know why that's especially ironic and sad? You know what Randy Savage's theme song is?
Is it Pomp and Circumstance?
Yeah.
Wow.
I cried in my graduation whenever I walked down, and it wasn't because I was happy.
I was just thinking this.
He's really emotional over this graduation.
Boy, he's really going to miss this school.
Oh, irony.
So it's really sad. I agree with you that it's good that they're finally giving her the recognition that she really deserves. It's just really a shame that this is what it took to get there.
It's a shame we can't forgive each other in life. Yeah. We can only do it in death.
And again, to be fair, you know, for all the shade we want to throw at Triple H and Stephanie McMahon for mentioning it, you know, they didn't really acknowledge any of those allegations. Like, they didn't really come forward and return fire and, you know, bash her for any of her choices. You know, It seemed very civil.
Yeah.
At least from their end, you know, maybe they were sending just like hateful text messages. But again, like, I doubt it.
I've always felt like Triple H had an affinity for China.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even after they broke up, I feel like he still cared for her. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, I doubt she cares at all. I mean, just from personal experience, two women after the same guy, there's kind of a rivalry.
Do you think there's any of like the how good of a character she plays on Raw, like, influences that,
I think,
like,
it
how
does.
You perceive her? Because all you see is her, like, emasculating everyone who crosses her path.
Well,
she's
not only that,
the ultimate.
But then when you see her outside of Raw, mm-hmm. like, she has such a good persona mm-hmm. that it almost seems facetious. You know, it's like one of those
Rocky.
It's I'm smiling so much and everything's great and I'm totally doing a politically correct act.
Yeah.
Like, I have no doubt that everyone has a dark side and everyone says things, you know, in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure her and China, I'm sure when news broke that China died, she didn't lose any sleep, is all I'm trying to say. But I don't know personally. That's just a guesstimate.
Yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
I didn't lose sleep over Chyna passing away because I didn't know her.
Right.
But as a wrestling fan since I was a child, this is easy top 10 most devastating wrestling deaths, maybe even top 5 that I've ever experienced.
Yeah, it's rough. And I will say Kayfabe News had a great headline about it. The world now down to 7 world wonders.
Oh.
She was the only women's wrestler that I still feel could have been legitimately world champion.
Yeah.
If they booked her right.
Because she was a legitimate Intercontinental champion.
Yeah.
Which was, like, it wasn't just, like, a really gimmicky thing. Like, yeah, there was some, you know, assistance from Eddie, and she wasn't really, the people that she was wrestling weren't, like, top people.
Yeah.
But still,
I was gonna say, if you book it right.
Yeah.
You remember when they tried to replace her, or maybe not replace her, but this is a testament to how good Chyna was. How many imitators were there after her? Remember Asia in WCW?
Yeah.
Nicole Bass in WWF?
I don't remember her.
Oh, you don't want to remember her.
Yeah, she was rough. But they tried so hard to bring in the next Chyna. Mm-hmm. And so they just started getting these huge, bulky women.
She created an archetype.
But no one could match her.
No.
There will never be another Chyna. There never will be. Just like there will never be another Hogan, another Austin, another Daniel Bryan. There will never be another Chyna.
No.
I mean, it's like Prince dying. The world lost a real historical figure.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
But we can't be all doom and gloom.
No, yeah. Well, the next story isn't. It bugs me a little. But so NXT was tonight, or Wednesday. As a lot of people know, the house show in Lowell.
Yeah,
England, Lowell. There was a championship match, Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe, that Samoa Joe won, and Samoa Joe won the NXT championship. Mm-hmm. Clearly, it was really weird because, like, people were saying, oh no, it was filmed, so you're gonna see the match. Or, you know, but otherwise it's just kind of this random house show. It's not like TakeOver, it's not like one of the network specials. It was just a European tour show. And so Samoa Joe wins the match. When we were watching Raw, I remember that they aired an ad for NXT that said, you know, the match everyone's talking about Wednesday night, NXT. And then it cuts to it. The final shot is Samoa Joe on the ramp holding the NXT championship.
Yeah.
And my reaction was like, oh, so you're not even going to try to pretend like it's a mystery who won. And I know I feel like I'm probably the only one here that really this bothers me, but it's WWE's done it for a long time with their SmackDown tapings.
I think, I'm trying to remember, was it Rey Mysterio when he won the title? They put it right on the front page.
I think so.
During the taping, they were like, Rey Mysterio wins championship.
I think so.
And then you had to wait till Friday to see it.
Yeah.
But that automatically spoiled it for you.
Right.
You know?
And so, and I understand, like, it's a double-edged sword. That, well, before we get to the spoiler talk, but so on NXT tonight, though, they only showed, it was like a 2-minute highlight reel. I thought they were showing the entire match, because anytime Finn Balor and Samoa Joe have a match, I need to see it. The whole thing.
It's vital.
Always. Especially one that results in Samoa Joe winning the NXT championship.
I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. Also, it's worth noting, someone pointed out that, Finn Balor was not the demon.
Yeah, he was
just straight Finn Balor, so the demon is undefeated. But Finn Balor is
no.
So you get angry now.
Well, hold on, let me prepare myself. So I understand they want to make the house shows seem important,
right?
That's always been a thing with them. Is like you want to push that gate sale.
It's anything can happen.
Yeah, and that's good, but this is not one of those things that you change on a house show. An Intercontinental title, sure. Tag titles, go for it. But the world title, the most important title to your company, especially when it's a guy like Finn Balor, who you have openly said is the longest reigning champion in NXT.
Yeah, he just passed Adrian Neville.
Mm-hmm. So you build him up as this great, and he's beaten Samoa Joe twice. This isn't even we put him up against Shinsuke Nakamura on a house show, and whoa, Nakamura beat him the first time.
This is a legitimate feud that's taking place and is heated and personal.
Yeah. And you have him switch the title on the house show. So your first thought has to be, okay, they're hot-shotting Balor off. Is he hurt? He's not hurt. Is he going to Raw? He's not going to Raw. Then why?
Maybe. Not yet.
Well, he said, whether you believe it or not, he said he's staying on NXT.
He's also a master troll.
He is. And
this is the same guy that was doing the suck-its outside of the TNA offices.
I remember that was amazing.
I'm also pretty sure he, at the end of that taping, as he was leaving, yelled to the fans, or no, this was last week, yelled to the fans, see you on Monday.
The only thing I can see happening that will make this not hurt as bad is if he shows up at Payback with Carl Anderson and
Doc Gallows.
Luke Gallows. Yeah, it's
and
Luke
and they formed the Balor Club.
Me too.
That's the only way I can see it. They formed the Balor Club and they turn on AJ Styles. That's the only way that it can happen.
Yeah.
Because if Finn Balor stays on NXT and they made him drop the title. So you had two pay-per-views, two takeovers where Samoa Joe could have won the title in great matches.
Yeah.
And you didn't give it to him. Instead, you give him on a house show in England.
Yeah. And then so and also
England.
Whoa.
And
watch out there, sir.
It's loud
William,
as good.
William Regal's from there. It's not all bad.
They gave him they were
so
just
was Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, we like him too.
Paul Burchill.
Not so much. Aye.
I liked Paul Burchill.
Oh, you're the only one.
I know I am. Well, the thing too is like so not only is it it's a personal feud, like it's you don't just give that away, like, okay, fans, you don't get to see it now.
And then if you do give it away, you don't show highlights.
And like you said, like, and that's the thing, too, is that's what really bothers me, is they filmed it.
Yeah.
There were clear, like, there were camera cuts. There were people holding cams. There was hard camera. You could tell just by those clips. So why not show us the entire match?
It's not like a pay-per-view where the next night they'll show you pictures.
Right.
And they'll say, well, you should have been there.
Like,
well, yeah, obviously. But I'm not flying out to goddamn Lowell, England to see a title change.
Off chance, yeah. And then, was it Jesse?
We're doing it from now on.
When we did that road trip the other day, like, where we talked about how, for a while there, the tag team championship was just passed back and forth.
Yeah.
At house shows.
Before the tapings.
Not even before tapings. It was just like, okay, so the Wednesday show, the Usos won the tag team championships. The Thursday show, the Usos lost the tag team championships to whoever was already the tag team champions.
Yeah, they just before the major shows they would and just then, so by go the back
time,
and forth.
Yeah, so by the time it got back to Raw, the whoever was tag team champ on Raw was champ again.
Do you guys know that Sean Stasiak had like 10 hardcore title reigns
just from house shows?
Just from house shows, he would literally win it at the house show, and then they would get off like he would run off, and then they would announce in the middle that Sean Stasiak lost the hardcore championship in the back.
Mm-hmm.
By somebody, because it used to be 24/7 rules.
And sure, for a hardcore championship, go for it, but not with the NXT title.
It's different. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that little fun fact
like,
out there.
I can't believe they did that. Yeah. That shocked me almost as much as China dying. Because it's like, that makes no sense why you would have Finn Balor drop the title on a house show and then not even show the match. That's an insult.
I mean, you're right. That is an insult. My thought is, and this is, again, and it could just be, thanks, Hunter, you're going to get your moment, that
he doesn't need your moment.
That Finn Balor's going to be a payback. Whenever we get there, what I think is going
to
happen is...
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll get to the preview.
We'll get to the preview.
Yeah, we're doing a whole rundown of the card.
Hashtag Balor Club.
Because, like, all of us, or, like, Shannon and I for sure, we were watching Raw, and the graphic said, live, this Sunday, payback. And we're like, that's a misprint, right?
Nope.
This is incorrect.
I did that too.
Oh no, I was sitting at work just being like, man, I'm going to be tired for this show. And then I thought about it. I was like, dang it, it's the go home show to payback. We're going to go over.
Maybe not.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah, okay.
Cause
yeah.
Shannon ain't feeling good.
And also there's not a whole lot other than like the recaps, which not a whole lot really happened.
Do you have Ric Flair on there?
Yeah, I did. I wrote down Ric Flair ? Because I don't know if it's really,
I think it's absolutely newsworthy.
Well, the Ric Flair thing is on the SmackDown taping, and there was a Ambrose Asylum segment.
Which, by the way, I hate that they keep putting these guys in interview segments. Ambrose Asylum, The Peep Show, didn't...
Now, The Peep Show, like, certain superstars, it works. Chris Jericho absolutely gets a talk show. The Miz.
But it's overused.
Absolutely gets a
It's overused.
It is a trope that everyone has to get one. But Dean Ambrose does not need a talk show.
No.
He's great. He's a great talker, and he's charismatic as hell. And I can't say enough good things about him. But his personality for what his character is,
not a talk show host.
Not a talk show host.
Real quick, just off tangent or just on topic. What's your favorite wrestling interview segment? Dalton, go.
Piper's Pit.
Asa.
Highlight reel.
I have no idea.
Barbershop.
Yeah.
I mean, that was when you got that infamous Shawn Michaels turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, but Piper's Pit's.
Well, I'd say Piper gave Snuka some of that back.
Piper's Pit is the correct answer, but I didn't want to just be like,
nobody wants to pick the same answer.
Yeah, no one wants to pick the same answer.
I mean, I like Brothers Love. Like, Brother Love's was always entertaining.
Oh, it didn't. And but wasn't also, there the funeral parlor?
Yeah,
Paul
that was.
Bear?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Cutting Edge.
Ahmed Johnson should have had one.
No.
No.
I don't think he knows words. He has the worst words.
But he is huge.
That's true, yeah.
But so the Ambrose Asylum was, it's Charlotte and Ric Flair and Natalya. And Natalya started talking about how, well, Bret Hart's going to be in my corner this weekend, or is on Sunday, and Bret Hart will easily take care of you. And Ric Flair apparently got very upset by this. Everything that I've read about it seems to say that this was actually, like, really in character, and yeah. It was all within context. It made sense. And so Ric Flair starts losing his mind about how he beat Bret Hart all over the country, all over the world. He can't stop me. Blah, 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 blah. Ends the rant with, kill yourself. He tells Natalya to kill herself.
So here's my problem with this.
In rant.
One, my question to you guys, do you think they'll cut that from the broadcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
But will they cut the entire part or just bleep it?
They're probably going to do a weird him just yelling. They'll fade his microphone to make it sound like he like dropped the mic or something, and then they cut to the crowd.
Crowd noise?
Yeah.
Right. And my other thing is, so even if it was just an act, because one, if he was really upset and say kill yourself, then he should be fired.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
If it was an act and he was trying to sell it,
mm-hmm.
This is how many days removed from China possibly killing herself?
Whoa. And you're, let's not forget, like 6 months ago, Paige saying to Charlotte Flair, oh, well, your little brother didn't have much fight in him. So, like, and I could be overthinking it, which is something I do a lot, but maybe Flair was like, well, middle finger to you.
Yeah, but I don't think he would take that on Natalya.
No.
It was definitely not Natalya's fault.
Well, no.
Unless
but
he was trying to train wreck the segment.
That could be it, yeah.
Which, and to me, like, it's Ric Flair, so it really kind of feels like he maybe just got carried away.
That's exactly. This is the same guy that used to throw his jacket on the mat and elbow drop it.
Right, yeah, which is amazing.
He clearly, Allie, he ain't all there.
He's also the same guy who got JR fired.
He's all, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's kind of the worst, if you think about it.
A little bit.
Like, I don't care what he's done for professional wrestling. He has been
he's not a good person.
He's been a tool in WWE for a while.
But man, you gotta know, if coming out of China's death,
mm-hmm.
for him to say that is so classless.
And out of line, yeah.
And out of line.
Yeah,
it's out of line anyway.
There's no
Yeah, even if it wasn't around China's death,
that's
telling
still
someone to do that.
I mean,
in this day and age of be a star,
yeah.
To say kill yourself.
Yeah.
How many stories are there every day of bullying that ends up with people killing them? Just the other day, another high school girl, 14-year-old girl, killed herself because she got bullied.
Yeah.
And Ric Flair's going to go on and tell this girl, kill yourself?
Yeah.
Where is the repercussions for this? And I like Ric Flair, but man, something's got to happen.
You would think. I mean, Titus O'Neil grabbed Vince McMahon and got 60 days.
Almost 90.
Almost fired.
Yeah.
Old man Flair's telling people to go commit suicide, and he's going to be at payback.
So it's one of those things where you got to think it was just he. Maybe I'm not totally dead inside because, like, I really want to think that it was just he was excited. He forgot it's TVPG.
It's a slip of the tongue.
Yeah,
that's what I like to believe too.
But then you heard
the story about him at the airport.
Yeah, which apparently he didn't have a hand injury. It was like some sort of head injury. But then again, his like publicist was like, well, I just got off the phone with him. They're letting him board. Like, he's in the air right now.
The worst part about that story, if you read the publicist's statement,
mm-hmm.
was they literally said, and I'm paraphrasing, that yes, Ric Flair and his friends have kept bars in business since the 70s.
They've kept airport bars in business since the 70s, but this was certainly not the case.
So you're openly admitting Ric Flair has a drinking problem, just not this time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I do meth. But when I robbed that store, that time
Stone Cold
I wasn't
sober.
On meth.
I was only a little on meth.
Which, and that's like that
I was
one
on coke that day.
I wasn't going to bring that one up like as prevalently because there's so much unknown about it. It's just a lot of like third hand accounts.
True.
And all we really have is
but
from
watch,
his publicist.
This will be the big story of the week. Something's going to happen and we'll be able to go, we broke it.
Told you.
By broke it, I mean we took the story from a bunch of other sites and then talked about it briefly.
It was Winners. Some dude that was thought he saw Daniel Bryan. He was like, oh, by the way, I saw a drunk Ric Flair. Actually, it could have been anybody's like uncle.
I mean, Ric Flair
is all of our drunk uncle.
Ric Flair is one of those guys. I wouldn't be surprised if they actually did find blood in his alcohol stream.
It's funny because he drinks a lot.
His original wrestling name was Vodka Drakinski.
Yeah. Well, but then when he went to WCW, they had to change it to Soda Popinski.
It was really terrible.
Yeah, it didn't really work as much.
Can you hear that?
I don't know why that's so funny.
Turning the podcast off.
It's a Punch Out reference.
That's great.
Little Mac. Triggered.
Mac and cheese.
So a couple things that I wanted to talk about from the Raw and SmackDown recap. Not a whole lot because not a whole lot happened. The Usos had a backstage segment with Roman Reigns, which was very clearly how family members speak to each other.
Oh,
totally organic and very natural.
Sometimes they all need the one.
And then a little bit later, they had a match against, well, skip ahead a little bit. They had a match against the debuting Gallows and Anderson.
Yes.
Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson have their official in-ring debut this past Monday.
Which I'm happy about.
I'm going to say, Dalton, I'm going to look right at you. How did you feel about this?
I like that they finally gave him a match, because I was on the group chat. I was saying, I was like, I hope they don't NWO these guys where I have to see him for 8 weeks before they get in ring gear. It was a good 2 weeks. We got him coming in, raising hell, and then we got him in ring gear.
Do you think that their ring gear was a little too elaborate?
No.
For their personality?
No, not at all.
Because they strike me as more of the rough and tumble
barroom
brawlers. Mm-hmm.
Luke Gallows used to do warrior paint on his face for every Bullet Club match.
Yeah.
That wasn't there. It's basically what they were wearing was the exact same thing they wore in New Japan, just without Bullet Club. I really liked it. I was reading 411 Mania and I didn't check who it was, but somebody said they were in dumbass trench coats. Those are cool looking.
Those were cool.
Yeah, I like the logo too, because it reminds me of Scarecrow in the Arkham games, because it's like the gas mask and Scarecrow's the best.
I mean, the only thing that would have made that entrance or their outfit better is Gallows would have had the face paint. I get why they didn't, because they're trying to make like that kind of look silly, but I love that look for Luke Gallows.
Because
he's just a big creepy looking guy.
And that's no saying that it may not become a part of his act later.
Yeah.
Like this is just because like you said, like they really do kind of come across as just these like APA barroom brawlers, badass. The revival, like very much like the revival's final form.
Yeah.
So especially if you get the AJ Styles involvement or the Finn Balor involvement, if they become part of the Balor Club, Bullet Club, you know, what do we call them? The Gunshot Gang.
Yeah, the Gunshot Gang.
There's plenty of room to, there's plenty of room for them to evolve. Like this is what we've seen so far.
Yeah.
They've played it up so much, like, between them and AJ Styles, they played it up so specifically to one storyline, you know there's a twist. Because WWE is not clever enough to double twist you. There has to be a twist, and clearly the twist is going to be Finn Balor.
No, you're wrong. And you know why you're wrong? Why? WrestleMania 32. Triple H versus Roman Reigns. There has to be a twist. Surely they're not just going to do Roman Reigns versus Triple H. Like, Roman Reigns just isn't going to just beat Triple H.
You're absolutely right. Sometimes the most
obvious answer is the right one.
So
what's
like,
that called? Occam's Razor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm proud
of me?
Yes.
The reason I brought that up and kind of skipped ahead is because do you think, because the crowd was kind of flat for this entire match. Like,
it was.
Anderson Gallows got some good reactions, and the Usos kind got mixed at best.
I know what you're going to ask, and I can answer it for you already. Match went too long.
That's not what I was going to ask.
Oh.
What I was going to ask is, do you think them having that backstage segment with Roman Reigns hurt their reaction? Because in general, the Usos are a very popular tag team.
Well, except lately, because of Roman Reigns.
Since they came back from injury.
Like, and they don't even have to have Roman Reigns around. Mm-hmm. I remember, was it at WrestleMania? It was one of the shows, they just got booed. They just got booed for coming out because they look like Roman Reigns. And I'm not even trying to be funny or racist. They look like Roman Reigns. My opinion, what really hurt that match was the length.
It did go pretty long.
It went 13 minutes, I think, almost 13 minutes.
Especially when the commentary said, the Gallows and Anderson are having their way with the Usos.
Clearly they weren't.
And it was a really back and forth match.
Which it had to be, technically, because I liked it because they didn't just have the Usos get buried.
Right.
So many times when they have a debuting superstar,
they just crush
whoever is they're fighting. But then the next week, they'll have that person fight someone else and want you to believe that they're a threat again.
Right.
So by doing this and having the Usos stand up against them, the Usos still look strong. They're tag team champions. They're a good team. Gallows and Anderson shouldn't run over them like that. But at the same time, you want them to have an impact on their debut. So don't put them against the Usos.
Yeah.
Put them against, I mean, who, who didn't, was Fandango and Goldust busy? Was R-Truth and, what's, who is it?
Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze can't even, God, I was going to make a very sexual reference. I'm not going to. Tyler Breeze can't catch a break. No. Poor guy. The poor bastard. He can't get a win to save his life. So why not put them out there, have Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows absolutely demolish them to set up the match with the Usos and then put it on pay-per-view or something?
Yeah.
You blew your first match already by having a good match, but one that was completely void of impact or drama.
Now, see, I did like the end of the match, though, where they just take him out and they're both over him, just right-handing them to death. Like, I thought, I was like, all right, cool. You are showing what these guys do.
Yeah.
They are not wrestlers. They are straight up, they're just going to hurt you. They're there to hurt you, get the three. And if they don't feel like they've hurt you enough, they're going to keep hurting you.
And then came the worst part of the segment. Because I told Ace, I said Roman Reigns' music's going to hit in 5, 4.
Then he's going to beat them both.
And then sure enough, Roman Reigns came out and put them both down.
Which,
and then
to that's be fair, where it turned. Freaking finally, big face comes out and saves his friends instead of just sitting back and watching.
After months and months of abandoning them.
Yeah. So finally, at least they did that right. And what I really liked about Raw is they made a big deal about Gallows and Anderson the entire time and their relationship with AJ Styles. You know, they interrupted his interview with Renee Young, talked about, like, and it was kind of, I'm not 100% sure. I think it is going to be Balor instead of AJ that they side with, because AJ was very embarrassed at some of the stuff that they were talking about. Like, he kept trying to cut off Anderson, talking about, like, going out drinking and partying and stuff like that. It's like, oh, hey, well, you know. So it really kind of seems like that might be the way that they're going, is AJ left New Japan to get away from them.
Yeah.
And to kind of start over. And so they resent him for that, which would be interesting to see.
One of the things I think hurts this whole dynamic, though, is the scripted promos. I've seen their interactions in New Japan, and it's so much more organic than their interactions on WWE TV. And I completely blame that on the fact that they're scripting out every single word these guys say.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of non-scripted promos. Give me a bullet point and let me talk. Mm-hmm. It hurts the product whenever you're trying to write it out like it's an acting gig. Dalton, what's up?
Last week, Chris Jericho had Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows on his podcast. If you want to hear those two talk to each other and like figure out what they're about in real life, listen to that. And then about 2 years ago, they did an Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana. Funniest people in the world.
That one was really good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're so charismatic.
Yeah.
And they have such good interactions. But whenever you give them a script and say, okay, say this in this tone.
Yeah.
It takes away from it. There's a reason guys like Cena and The Rock and Triple H come across so much better, because they're told, we need you to talk about this, but they get to write their own promos. They speak off the cuff.
Yeah.
I hate scripting out promos. Some people won't make it, obviously.
No, yeah.
But the people that do make it will be even better.
Yeah.
I think Luke Gallows is one of the most charismatic people in the world, but I don't need to hear him talk.
They really should just, like, at least work in tandem with the writers. Like, if you're going to script out a promo, let them be in the room when it's being written.
Yeah. So give them an idea.
And then, so just rapid fire real quick through Raw so we can get to the preview show.
Yes.
The other great thing that happened on Raw was we got a three-way segment with The New Day, Enzo and Cass, and the Vaudevillains. And I gotta say, I was most impressed with the Vaudevillains in that segment.
Yeah.
Agreed. Like, of all three of them, like, I think they did the best job because they really kind of coasted on who they were and their character and their entrance in NXT, and the crowd ate it up. When they tried to just do that on the main roster, it fell flat. But now that Aiden English actually gets a microphone
and sang
and corrected their grammar. And
best line of the night, we're going to party like it's 1899.
Do you guys remember Aiden English's gimmick before the Vaudevillains?
You showed me the video.
Yeah, he used to come out singing parodies of show tunes. Yeah.
He actually feuded with Big Cass, didn't he?
Yeah, they did a sing-off.
Yeah. You need to see that, Allie.
I do.
So it's really great to see them actually get microphone time and to be able to, because now they're actual heels.
Yeah.
Because they're saying mean things.
And the music's changed.
As opposed to just, there's a vignette
the
of
mean
them.
Face.
There's them frowning now, so they're bad guys.
We frown all the time. We're not bad guys. We're not good guys. No,
stop it, Trigger.
So it was, but it was, that was a great little interaction.
But see, Enzo and Cass, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to say, Enzo and Cass, I'm worried that they're going to have them rest too much on the intro of the whole "My name is Enzo Amore," because it works, yes. But he's so much better than that.
Yeah.
Enzo is so much better than just that one thing. But it's kind of like, you remember the New Age Outlaws?
Yeah.
Eventually they did their intro and that was it. You need to let Enzo talk more. He needs to pull people in.
And I really think they're going to let him do that.
I hope
so. I don't see them just being like, okay, so here's your microphone.
Do the intro
and that's it. Because he finishes it before they get to the ring, really.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. Yeah. And then the other thing from all that I wanted to touch on was the Miz segment with Cesaro. Full James Bond.
Sexy.
Full James Bond entrance. That was the best.
That is an awesome entrance. That better be, 2K. If that's not in 2K17.
Yeah.
If that's not in 2K17, I'm still gonna buy it,
but I'm gonna be sorely.
You'll get an email.
I'll watch you play it.
Yeah, you better be getting an update and giving us that as
and
a patch.
Also him doing the, I can't remember what he calls it, but where he does the pop-up European uppercut.
The very European uppercut? That's what it's called.
Not anymore.
Oh, is it not anymore?
I don't think it's called that anymore. Oh, not in WWE anyway. But he does it in the full suit, which was an actual suit. And holy hell, does that man wear a suit? But he didn't even lose the sunglasses.
You know, he looks
like he just throws him his uppercuts him and is just like, all right.
He really looks like every really slimy, sleazy douchebag James Bond foreign European villain, doesn't he?
He really does.
He pulls it off so well. Like, I could literally buy that guy as a multinational arms dealer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or as an amazing wrestler. Either way.
You're giving him more credit than WWE does.
I often do.
Everyone does. Everyone at this table does.
Even this can of Surge.
I don't know.
That's
why.
Not Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
You're Eddie Murphy. I don't know. The only thing
don't
from
make me laugh at her.
Honestly, the only thing from SmackDown that's worth noting is during the European tour, Alberto Del Rio did an interview and pretty much said that the League of Nations was done. And then on SmackDown, Rusev and Alberto Del Rio are arguing, all the way up the ramp as they leave Sheamus behind in the middle of a match.
What a waste.
So, very much so.
What a waste.
And it's one of those things where he even mentioned, like, well, we were supposed to do this thing with these guys, and now they're all hurt, so
that's it. I remember asking Shannon about that while we were watching Raw. I was like, is the League of Nations a thing? Because Sheamus had a match and no one was there. Rusev had a match and no one was there. Yep.
Except for Lana, who threw her shoes
Lana.
Sami Zayn after he won.
And then Alberto Del Rio had a match and no one was there.
Yeah. But they still announced them as representing the League of Nations.
Yeah.
Because I noticed that, because I was like, oh yeah, they just didn't say anything about it during the Sheamus one, because I didn't see his entrance.
Yes.
But then Rusev representing the League of Nations.
So terrible, though, because the League of Nations, we said it before, if this would have been in the 80s.
They would run.
Every single one of them would have been major stars.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Foreigners that can work and talk. Oh my God.
Yeah. They would have been against the Four Horsemen.
They would have been against Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The entire stable.
They would have lost to Hulk Hogan.
Each one of them.
At the same time.
At every pay-per-view.
And now it's just Roman Reigns.
At least one or two of them would have lost to the Warrior.
But
Savage, if they wanted to throw him a bone. Like Stephanie did.
Dude! Allegedly.
Done.
Allegedly.
Done. That's my one of the night.
So also on SmackDown, the never ending R-Truth Gold Dust story continues. That's all I'm saying about it.
Wait, did Ryback come back on SmackDown too? Or was that last week?
I think that was last week.
Okay, because he came back and beat Kalisto.
Because the kickoff show for WWE Payback this Sunday, Ryback versus Kalisto for the, championship. And also, I'm going to go grab a pen real quick because I'll keep track of the prediction.
Are we heading to the previews?
Yeah, because that's really all that was left of the show.
While he's doing that, I'll take over. Oh, Allie, you have a question.
Well, it's not really a question.
Hello.
Was it on Raw where we heard that on Payback, Vince McMahon is going?
We'll
no,
we'll
no, don't there. Jump ahead. Don't jump ahead.
Baby Bird.
That's going to be that's what we're finishing up with.
We have
finishing?
To get,
okay.
Yeah, that's build the anger. You don't get straight to it. If you do, that's how brain aneurysms happen. You got to build to the anger. It's steps.
That's what killed Warrior.
Exactly. We don't want to die young.
I do.
Shut up.
But I missed the boat by about 10 years. High five.
No.
No?
Okay. I went for it. I was like, no. I like high fives.
So Ryback's big argument is that he's complaining that the U.S. title deserves to be on the pay-per-view, and he's upset that he's been put down to the pre-show. Remember, he complained about that after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because, to be fair, that Ryback-Kalisto match was actually decent. It wasn't bad.
No, yeah, it really
was. Told a good story.
Told a great story. It told a great big man David versus Goliath story.
Yeah, belonged on there much more than the three legends beating up... Okay, we went over it. We already talked about in length what was wrong with Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Build the anger. What? Calm it down.
So now
tell
me
what to do one more time and I will never mind.
Does it seem like WWE is almost forcing Ryback on the pre-show? Like they're just saying, you complained last time, do the pre-show again.
I don't think they're putting that much thought into it. I think they're just like, oh, other huge thing that we should have talked about. John Cena announced that Memorial Day, he's going to be back.
Yeah.
I actually hadn't heard that.
Injury was supposed to take 6 to 9 or 7 to 9 months. He's back in five.
He's going to die.
They like, showed that was why, a tweet on Raw.
Yeah. That's why I wrote, like, when I did the intro this morning, I was like, unless it's a John Cena-esque recovery.
Ah, yes.
Because he's going to be back.
When is Memorial Day?
Dalton, look it up.
May something?
Yeah, it's coming up. Like, thanks, it's boss. Pretty soon. Okay. But yeah, so he's going to be back on Memorial Day. And I feel like this is their, oh, Kalisto has the United States Championship. What's he done with? Have we done anything? No. Okay. Well, I guess we should make it seem kind of important now that we're probably just going to put it back onto John Cena.
May 30th.
So Ryback beats Kalisto. Are we just getting to the pay-per-view? Let's get to the preview. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Kalisto versus
Ryback.
You just
the
said
big
it.
Guy. I'm so sorry. It's not a secret that Shannon likes Ryback.
Right.
But not because he thinks he's great in the ring, but his muscles make me erect in ways that normally a woman can do. Sorry.
Are you?
There's not
no,
enough.
He's not.
There's not enough of me on the show. No, in all seriousness, I think Ryback is underrated. I don't think he's the best ever. I don't even think he's terrific, but he's underrated. A guy that big that can be entertaining is hard to find. How many meatheads has WCW and WWF brought in that have been complete waste of time? And I'm not even talking about Ryback levels of waste of time. Let's talk about guys like Van Hammer. Let's talk about guys like Horace Hogan. Let's talk about guys like what was that guy? Kozlov?
Oh, you know Vladimir Kozlov?
Vladimir Kozlov. Yeah. Yeah.
How many big guys have they brought in that have been absolutely vacuums for heat? Now, say what you will about Ryback, but he at least knows how to work a crowd. He can get a reaction. Those guys normally cannot. John Heidenreich. Look at Heidenreich, for God's sake.
Whoa, he wrote some really good poetry.
Disaster pieces. Yeah. So I just want to start off by saying that I think you guys don't give Ryback enough credit. Yes, he's done some stupid things. I'm not going to defend him on that. But he at least deserves a little credit for being entertaining.
Not as much credit as a lot of other people.
Well, clearly not. But I mean, you can say that about anybody, really. Well, except for, you know,
Ryback.
Great colleague.
Yeah. So who do you, so you have Ryback?
I only have, with all that said, the only reason I have Ryback is because I believe Ace is 100% right that they're going to have Ryback go up against Cena and Cena's going to take his U.S. title back. This is the transition.
Yeah. And that's I'm going with Kalisto. Just because I kind of think that they're going to, they have to see a future in him. They really do.
No,
they
don't.
He's the new Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
He can
remember what they did with Rey Mysterio?
He can, made him multi-time world champion and sold millions of dollars worth of merch.
Sold million dollars worth of merch, but then they also buried him over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, his world title reign was horrible.
The moment he won the world title, he became damaged goods to them. And then they used him as enhancement talent. They still sold the merchandise.
No, yeah.
So they can absolutely have Kalisto lose to Ryback and still sell the merchandise. You're thinking that.
No, I'm thinking long term. I think he's going to get a solid in my head. And again, I could be wrong, but I'm writing down Kalisto.
You're smarter than them. Don't forget that.
No.
I know.
You don't understand. I am smarter than them. That's why I'm saying that it's going to be Kalisto because I can be wrong because I want to be wrong. So very wrong. But then I'll be like, see, look, I'm smarter than you. This is how it should have gone. But no, I think it's going to be Kalisto just because I do think that he's going to have, they're going to do something with him. They know that he's young enough that he can do these crazy high spots for a while.
Absolutely right.
And I think that they don't think that he's going to be able to be popular enough on his own or with, Sin Cara and the Lucha Dragons. So this gives him a chance to really make him feel important, give him a championship.
And you're right. And I wish you were right. But here's what I'm afraid is going to happen.
I'm also convinced that with the Epico and Primo coming back and just how big the tag team scene is right now, I fully expect there to be a Sin Cara versus Kalisto and U.S. title match.
See, I disagree. I think that they're going to put the title on Ryback. They're going to put Sin Cara back with Kalisto and put them in the tag division.
And they could also do that. but I also think that they've already done the Ryback Cena match before. Not that that stopped him before. How many times have we seen Cena Orton? I don't know.
Dalton, Orton, who you
got?
Anybody.
I got Ryback.
You got Ryback?
Yeah. I'm not interested with Kalisto having the belt.
Alley Cat?
You're wrong.
Kalisto, because I'm not interested in Ryback.
Bull. No woman is not
interested. I'm not interested in Ryback.
I am not interested in Ryback either.
You're not a woman.
So in...
And that's the nicest thing I'll ever say about you.
So, the next up we have the number one contender for the, WWE World Tag Team Championships.
You know what upsets me about this? That means that New Day isn't wrestling.
They're gonna be there. You know they're gonna be there.
They'll be there, but they won't
but
wrestle.
But more importantly than being the number one contender, they are going to win the Bootios tournament.
That's gonna be great.
It's Enzo and Cass versus the Vaudevillains. I think this one's pretty obvious.
Vaudevillains.
Because Dudley Boys cost Enzo and Cass the match.
Yeah. And plus, as entertaining as Enzo and Cass versus the New Day would be, because it would be.
SummerSlam.
Yeah, you can't, they're not going to put two faces against each other like that. Especially when you have AJ Payback. And Roman against each other. So yeah, Vaudevillains will definitely do it. Now, will they beat New Day for the titles though?
No.
We'll see how they book it, like leading up to it. But
we have to see how Primo and Epico come out.
I would, and honestly, like I would love to see the Vaudevillains hold the championship because again, like they're giving them a chance to show personality and speak.
Yeah,
having them get a strong championship run right at the start could set them for a while.
It's crazy that if you have guys win and look legitimate, they get better reactions.
Huh?
I'm sorry. I'm crazy. Dalton, who you got?
Vaudevillains, yeah. I'm with... It just makes no sense for Enzo and Cass to be against...
Allie wants to say Enzo and Cass.
I really do. I want to say Enzo and Cass.
Follow your heart, girl.
Yeah, yes. Sometimes, like, trust me, I don't want Ryback to win, but I know it's going to make sense.
I wrote E and C, and I was like, oh, Edge and Chris? Oh, now I'm sad.
You made yourself sad.
But yeah, I fully think that it's going to be Enzo and Cass against the Dudleys in a pretty long-term feud because they had that just scathing promo.
Yeah.
As when they first debuted. Yeah. And then they had the one, they beat them in, I couldn't believe they put them against each other in the tournament itself. That really seems like something you should really build to as a feud. So I don't know.
They were talking about the same guys.
You know what? Enzo and Cass are probably just going to win it. And
we're talking about the same guys that had Samoa Joe beat Finn Balor
at a house show
and didn't even show it.
Damn you,
Next
Triple
up,
H.
We have Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin. which, again, on Raw...
You're going to ruin your voice even more, Shannon.
On Raw, Corbin was coming out for his match against Damian Sandow, who, according to the live live reaction of people who were there, got one of the loudest reactions of the night.
You know, my favorite part about that was when Ziggler came out and attacked Baron Corbin before the match, I thought... Thank God, Sandow didn't get destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then on SmackDown, he got his upcomings.
Yeah.
Upcomings.
Whoa! Did you go out on a limit on that one?
I did.
So Andre the Giant Battle Royal winner, Baron Corbin, versus
the Lone Wolf,
Dolph Ziggler.
The, what's Dolph Ziggler doing?
His best.
And you know what? I'm saying Dolph Ziggler wins this.
No.
I think Dolph Ziggler wins this, and I think Corbin snaps and just demolishes him after the match.
Actually, I think you're almost right, but slightly wrong. Put me down for Baron Corbin, but... No. Put me down for Dolph Ziggler, but here's how it goes down. Baron Corbin beats him so bad the referee disqualifies him. Which then just leads to Baron Corbin beating him down some more.
Right.
Either way it goes, Dolph Ziggler will be destroyed
until
in this match.
Apollo Crews makes the save.
That'd be pretty incredible.
Dalton.
Baron Corbin. And it hurts me to say that because I used to be such a big fan until this is all you need to know about me.
I keep wanting... Allie.
Ziggler, because I agree with Shannon.
Shannon doesn't afraid of any logic.
So, real quick, we never got to hear...
Right. Do you want my short version?
Yes, because I need closure on this. For the longest time, to set the stage for anyone who might be a new listener, Dalton, Dalton was the only person who liked Baron Corbin, in, not just on the show, but in our entire friend group.
Yeah.
Dalton was the one and only, guys, he's not that bad. And then slowly but surely, like, Corbin won a lot of us over. I know he won Shannon over, a little bit.
Until he got to Raw.
That Austin Aries match, like, really fully cemented it as, or that Austin Aries build. Fully cemented it for me. I keep playing with the flashlight. And so I like Baron Corbin now. I get it. So he wins the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. He comes out on Raw and says, for those of you who don't know who I am, I don't care. The fact that I won this is the only thing that matters. And for whatever reason, that just like flipped a switch in your brain.
and it's because I have that, like, I have a lot of your, like, things where it's like, nope, that's where you lost me. Mm-hmm. Because Cesaro legitimately tosses Big Show 2 years ago. Show beats everybody a year ago. And now Baron Corbin, this no-name, wins it. Now you want me to care about this stupid trophy that nobody has cared about.
And
maybe they're trying to put some prestige into it.
Andre cares about it.
Andre ain't around no more.
Andre don't care about nothing anymore.
Andre doesn't logic anything anymore.
So
now that they're trying to make this, and maybe they're trying to make it important, which is good. But after 3 years and you still can't make this a thing, maybe you should stop. Maybe you shouldn't saddle this on somebody.
They want you to think that it matters for the first month after WrestleMania, and then they completely forget about it. And then the months before WrestleMania, when they start building up to the match.
Yeah.
So for a solid 2.5 months, this is a really prestigious thing. And so they did a good job because from what I can tell, they haven't really mentioned, like, they say that he won it, but they did the same thing with Big Show and Cesaro. Yeah. They mentioned it, but they didn't make a big deal out of it. So that's just why I'm confused, especially because it's like, but.
And I mean, I do like Baron Corbin. I just think it's stupid. Like, I thought that was a stupid thing to say. Yeah. This is all you need to know about me.
Honestly, like, I liked it. Just the, I don't care.
At least he has something, because Baron Corbin is the most vanilla of flavors.
And I will say, that is something that he did need. Like, he needed a hook to
really...
He needs
an edge.
But he needed some kind of legitimacy.
And all I would have wanted was, for those of you who don't know about me, I don't care. Dot it. Music.
Yeah.
But then again, he'd be stealing Roman's gimmick where it's like, I'm not the bad guy. I'm not the good guy. God. All right, anyway, what's the next match?
Dean Ambrose versus Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho. Because he's winning all of the feuds now.
Two years ago,
he couldn't win a feud to save his life.
I have to believe Chris Jericho's going to lose this one. Put me down for Dean Ambrose. Ambrose needs a victory. You have mother... No. No, Shannon.
I'm also saying... Allie.
I was going to say Ambrose.
You're going to say Ambrose.
You have to have... Jericho lose. You had Jericho lose to Fandango at WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
but he can't lose to AJ Styles.
Nope.
And now you're going to tell me he can't lose to Dean Ambrose.
I'm going
to
say, again, I'm giving WWE so much credit in
you
my predictions.
Asa, you are the smartest one amongst us when it comes to booking.
Yeah.
And you are the one that gets the angriest when you're right.
Yep.
You know for a fact it's not going to go the way you want it to go.
No. These picks are not how I want it to go. This is how I think WWE is going to go. That's what I'm switching. Like, I'm taking my logic out of it, and I'm putting WWE's logic into it. And WWE's logic is that Roman Reigns beats AJ Styles through hook or crook or interference or whatever.
Or just clean.
Chris Jericho gets another big win, or just clean, more than likely. Chris Jericho gets another big win, so then you have a big name heel to then go up against Roman Reigns.
So you think Jericho Reigns at...
I think Jericho Reigns is going to be whatever Extreme Rules.
Slam.
Like Extreme Rules, yeah. So I'm saying Jericho... Just because, and also, Dean Ambrose, they don't let him win. It doesn't matter. He doesn't need to win.
Ambrose is the new face of fear.
He's the face Bray Wyatt, except Bray Wyatt's now the face Bray Wyatt. Okay.
Which makes Ambrose the heel John Cena.
Is this building enough for you?
John Cena did tweet that, like, he was sick, or he was injured, and now he's healthy. Does that mean he turned heel?
Good!
H-E-A-L. Yeah.
Words can sound the same.
Next up, we have one that I think is going to be a little bit controversial between us. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
I'm going to go Owens.
Wow. That was at least 3 seconds of silence.
I was wrong. So Dalton says Owens.
Yeah, I'm going to go Owens.
I got to go Sami Zayn because every time they fought, Owens has beat the crap out of him, put him on the shelf twice. They have to, again, at some point, someone's got to get his comeuppance. I think this is the time, but I know that
this is
WWE. This is not NXT.
No, yeah,
this is by their logic. This is the first time they fought.
Yeah, no, I've mentioned it before. They like whenever John Cena and him.
Well, no, I know, but I'm saying is like for WWE fans, like because Vince sees a very big difference between NXT and WWE,
and he's not wrong.
He's
like,
not.
As much as we would wish as we would love for NXT to get the Raw numbers. It doesn't.
It doesn't. Look at the Cape House show.
Yeah.
Again, no all the NXT guys, nobody knew who they were.
Yeah,
so oft.
So in Vince's mind, this will be the first time that matters.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Owens, switch me.
You're switching?
Yeah, because I truly believe they're going to try to do the exact same thing they did in NXT.
And that's really what I like. But then it's kind of the same thing with the Corbin Ziggler thing. I almost think Zayn wins with a roll-up, and then Owens snaps.
again.
But I think that'll be the rubber match. That'll be the second match.
See, but so yeah, so I think I'm also saying Owens.
Because I can see Owens beating him. By like Zayn count beating out. Him. Yeah, and then Zayn gets the lucky victory.
There's no way this is not a feud that carries on for a full year.
Well,
fight forever. Clap, 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 clap.
Something like about chance. PG.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
They wrestled in doesn't like... matter.
I like Chance. I can't help it.
Who you got, Allie?
Owens.
Owens. So, well, I was way wrong.
Everybody likes Jesse.
That's true. I do love Jesse.
That's going to be the Podzilla sitcom.
And then the rest of the matches are title matches. We have Charlotte versus Natalya. Charlotte has Ric Flair in her corner. Natalya has as Bret Hart in her corner.
This is the perfect time to give Natalya her deserved
women's championship.
She deserves it. She's done more for that division in every. I mean, this is the same poor girl that they've saddled with a farting gas gimmick. They've made her a fool. They've made her awesome. They've made her look. They've done everything they could do.
But
to
no
her.
Matter what she's done, she's been entertaining as hell as a wrestler.
She's put her heart into it.
Yeah.
And
it's in her blood. It's literally in her blood.
I give Jesse shit because that one time he said she was unattractive, but not only can Natalya go as a true wrestler, she's also better looking than a lot of the supermodels they bring up there just to look good.
Yeah.
Natalya has everything that is required to be a major star. She deserves
except
it.
Except for the fact that she's not Charlotte. So I'm picking Charlotte.
Oh, I am too. You didn't let me finish.
I thought we were doing a bit because I was waiting. I was waiting for the right moment, and it's like, and that being said, I'm picking Charlotte as well.
Yeah, no doubt, Natalya absolutely deserves it. But we've also seen this match twice already in the past few months.
Yeah,
it's not going to be different this time. But you can guarantee that if they don't pull the trigger on Sasha Banks at this point, Bayley is going to be making her main debut soon.
Has to.
Yeah.
Has to. The way that I think this goes is, Bret Hart takes out Ric Flair, but Charlotte still beats Natalya on her own to kind of cement her as a legitimate champion.
Or Ric Flair does something dirty.
Also, probably that.
Ric Flair does something dirty to Bret Hart. Natalya's distracted. Roll up victory.
Yep.
This will be infuriating.
Welcome to Raw, except with another heartbeat out there.
Oh, and I'm thinking of Don Johnson, heartbeat. I'm going to request that tomorrow.
I'm so tired of Charlotte. So in my hopes and dreams, which I know is a bad idea, coming from you guys, I'm going
to... she's learning. I don't remember
she's
who...
She's evolving.
I don't remember who I was talking to. It might have been... It was either Steven or it was Calvin. And he's like, well, I kind of think of myself as a pretty optimistic guy. And I was like... Don't watch wrestling then. Don't start watching it full time because that will beat it out of you.
I don't imagine Calvin saying that.
It wasn't like in general, just like when it comes to media. Maybe it wasn't him. I don't remember.
It was
JR. Oh, it was JR. I remember he's like, I don't know. I'm a pretty optimistic guy.
Who?
JR.
I'm unfamiliar with that.
From
name.
The never mind. So
that was a lost episode. That never happened.
The Intercontinental Championship.
You kind of look like you.
the Intercontinental Championship, this is actually probably this match I'm second most excited for behind the tag match.
All right, here's the bad thing. Maybe it's the sickness. I don't know who the Intercontinental Champion is.
It's The Miz.
Wow.
Because he pinned Zack Ryder the night after Zack Ryder won
and
the ladder match at WrestleMania. Bye, Shannon. Feel better.
He left.
All right, so we get Miz with Maurice versus Cesaro, IC Championship.
Cesaro featuring that suit.
That's hopefully and that Bond entrance.
Welcome back.
Imagine him walking out with that Bond entrance, and then he holds up the Intercontinental Championship instead of the microphone. Yeah,
he's the best Bond wrestler since Dean Malenko.
Yeah, that is accurate.
That's actually accurate.
Not anymore.
Did they change it again?
Oh well, it's that siren terribleness.
Well.
It used to, like, yeah, before he even teamed with Tyson Kidd, it was the remix Dean Malenko thing. This is a hard one for me because part of me is like, I have to give WWE credit for a thing that they've constantly kind of nagged him on. And Vince McMahon even said in that Stone Cold podcast is he doesn't really know how to connect with fans and he's not that good and on a microphone. So what they're doing is the same thing they did with Daniel Bryan. They put him in a program with one of the top three talkers in the entire company with The Miz, and you let him have these promos with him, and
it's working. The Cesaro section,
it really is. It's working because he sounds a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah,
he's always been his backstage stuff, his JBL and Cole show stuff, super charismatic, supernatural. But you put him in a ring with a microphone and something happens. It's, you just can't deny that.
Stage freeze.
Something.
Yeah.
Like, who knows what
but
it is.
But he's been great in this feud with The Miz.
But he's been doing great with his feud in The Miz. I really want to say that this is just where they kind of are hot-shotting the IC title and they're going to give a really strong ring to Cesaro. Because I do think he eventually wins the championship.
You've sold me, boy. Put me down for Cesaro.
Put you down for Cesaro. But I was going to say, but I don't know if it's going to be now.
Especially with Maryse being on Total Divas and they're going to make that a thing.
Yeah.
And Maryse should be a thing.
Absolutely.
In everyone's life. However, I have to believe that this is Cesaro's time. So this is going to be my wild card of the night. This is the one I'm not sure about.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say Cesaro. That's what my heart tells
me. Okay. Allie?
I'm saying The Miz because I think Maryse is going to interfere.
She's saying The Miz because she's in love with him. And rightfully so.
Yeah. Dalton?
Cesaro.
All right. I'm saying Miz for same reason. Maryse interferes and Extreme Rules is coming up. Cage match. Maryse has to stay on. It's a cage match for the IC title. Cesaro, Miz. And that's where Cesaro gets his win because Maryse can't screw with him. Except every cage match that's ever happened to keep someone out has still screwed with it. But I'm still saying Miz.
Okay. This is going to be an interesting show.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the payback card is really strong. Like, I think all of these matches will be good. It's the same thing we've said every pay-per-view for the last year. The matches look really good. There's just, I don't care.
At least the build-up to this one has been better.
Yeah, that's true. It has been really strong. So the last match of the card.
Thank God.
There's still one more prediction after that, though.
Oh, my voice.
But Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles.
Roman Reigns.
Retains the championship.
Dalton, yes. Who do you think? Roman Reigns. Allie? Roman Reigns. Everyone says Roman Reigns.
Yeah. It is unanimous.
I love that Ace is writing it down.
Like. I am. Because honestly, do you think AJ Styles is leaving? There's payback no way as WWE champion.
Are they going to hot shot it again? Every time Roman Reigns wins the title, he loses it almost immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big Roman Reigns fan. Champion. Stop dicking Roman Reigns over. If you're going to push him, push him. Give him the title and let him run with it.
Yeah.
If it fails, it fails. But don't just give it to him and take it away over and over.
I really think this is going to be Gallows and Anderson try to help and it accidentally backfires.
Yeah. To set up the turn.
In quotes. It accidentally backfires.
That's the subtle way. The absolute balls to the wall way is that Finn Balor actually does come out.
Just comes out and like slaps the crap out of AJ Styles.
Both of them. You could have a DQ ending, set it up a three-way match at the next pay-per-view. AJ versus Roman versus Finn Balor.
Yeah. But yeah, so Roman Reigns is clearly leaving with the championship.
This is WrestleMania all over again. There's no question that Roman Reigns will win.
So the big prediction, the final prediction, and the segment that we skipped on Raw was Stephanie McMahon made her triumphant return to emasculate her brother Shane by commanding him to get out of her ring. But Shane says, well, thanks to you people, I'm back again this week, week 4, after losing my match to The Undertaker
for
control of Raw.
This is the biggest angle that we want.
Selling points for WrestleMania was Shane versus Taker.
And just, so.
Consequences will never be the same.
The death of Superman didn't kill Superman. It killed death in comic books.
He done goofed.
He done goofed. So Vince McMahon, it was announced that, so Shane McMahon got to control Raw again. He even said this is the first pay-per-view of the new era. And then Stephanie comes out and they say things to each other and, but at Payback, Vince McMahon is going to make an announcement over who is in charge of Raw going forward. Now, the way they made it seem is that it's either going to be Stephanie or it's going to be Shane.
Linda. So
I think he's going to name himself in charge. I think Vince is going to say Vince is in charge.
Well,
and then
you know what?
There's going to be some sort of shenanigans, and then there's going to be another match that has no, like, so Triple H has to wrestle a representative from Shane McMahon or Shane McMahon himself. Fuck it, SummerSlam. I said the bad word.
You said the bad word. the forbidden word.
So
you're absolutely right. You know why? Because it's an unspoken rule. It's an unspoken rule in WWE when the ratings are down. And by the way, Monday's Raw was the lowest rating Raw in 2016 so far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you read that.
No.
It was the lowest rated one. So what do you do when the ratings are down? You put Vince McMahon on TV. It is a unspoken rule in WWE that when ratings are down, Vince McMahon brings it back. So Vince McMahon, you were absolutely right. I didn't even think of that possibility. And I think you were right. He is going to come out and he's going to put himself as the man in charge just to pop the rating. Yeah. But
it'll be temporary.
But I truly believe that having Shane McMahon on Raw is better than Stephanie in every way.
So much better. So much better.
So I want to say Shane. If I have to pick between Shane and Stephanie.
You don't.
It's Shane. But if you're giving me free reign to pick anything.
You're the commissioner, Dalton, of the prediction game, just because you're the one that tends to set up the rules. Are we saying only, are we only choosing between Stephanie and Shane, or are we going third party as well?
I think we should only pick between the two, and if it's Vince, it doesn't count.
I think that it has to be McMahon. I don't care which McMahon. Anybody in that family, if you want to say Triple H,
Linda.
Shut up.
Put me down for Hornswoggle.
That was not that funny. Oh, I'm so tired.
No, it can be Andy McMahon or Triple H. That being said, I'm gonna go with Shane.
Okay, don't say Shane.
Yeah, it can be anybody in that family.
You just nodded at me. That's
put me down for Vince.
Vince,
you swayed me. You swayed me. Won the argument.
I'm also saying Vince.
I think Vince, so that he can keep up this. Is it gonna be Stephanie or Shane? Who's actually gonna?
Oh, he's gonna like lead him on. Yeah. Like he's just gonna toy with him and see who can
tease.
See, and I hate this because of the same reason I hated the WrestleMania build. Shane is clearly doing so much better. The whole reason he's on the show, he was still running 4 weeks, like this week, was because of how much the fans loved him.
Due to social media outpour, Dalton Manch is back on the show.
So Vince is just going to come out and be like, so yeah, everyone loves Shane. I let him run it for 4 weeks because of how much he loves Shane. Screw him. Bye. Stephanie again.
Which is exactly why that's plausible, because Vince McMahon's a heel.
Yeah, but even heels have to have some sort of logic. Usually the bad guys have the best logic. It's the good guys who respond to words with violence.
Hey, you're not wrong.
As they should.
Yeah, just like, yeah, kids.
You don't want friends with salad.
Too tired for all of this.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So we've got our list down. It's pretty varied.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we'll have
the
most part.
Minus the Owens and Roman.
Yeah.
Everyone has at least one different pick.
I can't wait to see me win again. This will be great.
First time, best time.
Yeah, but I'll be the first two-peater. I'll be like that guy on Reddit. I'll be a two-peater.
I knew he was going to. I knew he was going to, and yet I was surprised. Yet I was like, oh, I get it. Damn it.
So we're going to wrap this up.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So yeah, Payback's this Sunday. We will be keeping up with it at least. I mean, I get to actually watch it live, or at least all of it.
Some of it.
Some of it.
Because you'll
be
in Indiana at a convention.
Yeah. Jesse Kimball and Mandy Kennedy and Stephanie and
the Nerd
myself.
Up crew, basically.
A chunk of the Nerd Up crew is going to the Indianapolis Comic Con.
Nerd Up on the road.
So I don't know if they're going to end up doing a Nerd Up this week.
You guys should do one of the nights that you're at the con, then.
That's what they did.
They did
that
with
RTX,
like, yeah, with RTX, but I don't know how they actually did that, or if Jesse had, because
I think they took one mic. And they took Krista's big mic.
Yeah.
And they took one laptop.
I thought that was Krista's equipment, but I could be wrong. Yeah. I don't know.
We'll find out.
But so yeah, we'll figure something out. We've got Tannerless Thursday tomorrow night.
Someone will. At this rate, I probably won't be on it, but my voice held out pretty well.
No, you did well. Yeah.
It hurts like a son of a bitch every time I speak.
Again, I'm telling you, just stop talking to customers when they come in here at
709. We don't have customers.
709 Broadway for all your gaming needs.
Stop yelling.
I'm not yelling.
Mr. Simpson, please don't.
Kill me.
Please don't tell my manager.
All right, now I'm starting to lose it. So yeah.
Yeah, you did that to yourself.
So yeah, so possibly Tannerless Thursday tomorrow.
Yeah, Tannerless Thursday tomorrow.
I'm assuming the sports show.
Nerd Up on Monday. Maybe a reaction show. Yeah. We'll see how the show goes.
Yeah.
But so otherwise. Hey Asa, good job today.
Good job.
You're fantastic. I'm sure tomorrow I'll see nothing but messages saying, "Wow, Asa did so good, he should do it every week." And I'll just quit the goddamn show. So thank you, Asa. Thank you, Asa. Thank you, Dalton. Thank you, Allie.
Like I said at the beginning, this was for the controlling stake in PWU. But it's not going to matter because it's always going to be your show.
Not true. I die very easily. I'm very squishy.
Apparently not. Like, how many times have you been on your deathbed?
Still going.
You are the John Cena of the show. Shut up.
You're kicking out at 2 and 16th, 17th. That's not even a real fraction.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you on Sunday. Enjoy the show. Dalton, you're back. Take us out.
Say your vitamins and eat your prayers.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know it's not as good.
Wow.
Yeah. That was forced.
Yeah, going
was.
Out on a downer.
That yeah. one, never mind. Never mind.
Yeah, the show's canceled. My bad. The clown show is canceled. Goodbye.
That ending was so bad you canceled us. And JR was on last night.
Next week, stay tuned for a new book show with CJ. Good night, everybody.